Let's all stand and sing 222, There Is a Fountain. 222. I'd like to read Psalm 23. Psalm 23. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our heavenly, merciful Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to assemble together and to worship you and to glorify your blessed and holy name. Father, what a great blessing it is that we can come here and gather together as saved sinners to hear the good news, to hear what has already been accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. He has accomplished all that is necessary, and he has provided us with a perfect righteousness. Father, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. And will you remember us, Lord, as we gather together again to hear a second message? Father, remember Brother Eric as he stands before us. Pour out your spirit upon him and upon us. Lord, give him the words to speak and to declare the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we also think of those that are struggling. Remember Brother Scott, Lord, who would like to be here this morning. But Lord, he is struggling with his health. And will you remember him, Lord? Give him strength and restore him once again that he may come and gather with us again. Lord, remember also Brother Drew as he is facing his heart surgery tomorrow. Father, all things are perfectly in your hands. But Lord, will you give him comfort for his soul and remember his wife and his loved ones? Lord, remember him and give him healing once again. Father, remember us in mercy as a local assembly. Continue, Lord, to provide for us and give us all that we stand in need of. We can do nothing, Lord, unless you do provide for us. For Jesus' sake alone, amen. As you remain sitting, let's sing 118, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, 118.
Morning. Our text is found in John chapter 12. And if you're taking any notes, just know that we'll be pulling some verses from Mark 14 and Matthew 26. They are parallel passages to what's recorded in John 12, the first 9 verses. Now, let me just begin by saying that in Springfield, Missouri, There's a little shop on the south side of town known as Johnny Morris's Bass Pro Shops. It's his flagship store, and in there it has a really nice museum. It's called Wonders of Wildlife and Aquarium. Now, in that museum side, there are many displays, and these are called dioramas. Dioramas. Maybe you are familiar with dioramas from school or having helped your child with a diorama that they made for school. But in the museum or a natural history museum, they usually have these dioramas. And what they do is they bring you into the natural habitat of that animal. So typically in the back part of the wall, the back wall and the side walls, it's a two-dimensional painting. And then leaping out from that picture, that painting of the sky and clouds and just the background, maybe some rocks. Well, there's also in three-dimensional form, you have rocks and trees and branches, and usually you'll see the animal that was taken by the hunter and now stuffed by a taxidermy, leaping out over a branch, chasing after a stuffed rabbit, maybe there's a bird. And they're all things that are native to that habitat, whether it's desert, or you see a bison drinking from a stream, in grasslands, things like that. It's a diorama, and it brings you right into it. Well, that's what it's like reading these first three verses of John chapter 12. We are made witnesses, brought into this diorama-like scene to behold Christ and his beloved family. And so it begins in verse 1. And verse 1 is like that two-dimensional painting, that backdrop to the whole scene. It says there in verse 1, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." Now, there is a mention of 6 days there. 6 days. And on the sixth day, what did God create? Well, he created man. Man was created on the sixth day. He was formed of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. A living soul. And the Lord comes to where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, to whom he gave life. And then in verse 2, we come to the three-dimensional part of that diorama, where we meet with serving Martha and feasting Lazarus. There, verse 2, in Bethany, they made Christ a supper. It was at Simon the leper's house, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him, Lazarus also being a guest of honor in the house of Simon the leper. If you look at verse 9, you see that Lazarus at this time was somewhat of a celebrity to the degree that people wondered at what the Lord had done for him. He was dead 4 days in the grave, stinking, and Christ raised him from the dead. And so it says, verse 9, "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, that Christ was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead." And so Simon, hosting this meal in his house, he had Christ as the guest of honor, and he made sure that Lazarus knew, no, don't sit down here at this low table. You come up here and sit with us. You sit at the main table with us. And then at last we see devoted Mary worshiping her Lord in verse 3. "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." And so we're given to see this glorious majesty of our Lord and Savior, Him who created the heavens and the earth, He that gave life to dust, made him a living soul. He that breathed into man's nostrils, giving him life. Here our Lord sits at meat, robed in humble flesh with this blessed family. Martha served, Lazarus sits at the table feasting with his Lord, and Mary doing that wonderful work of good for her Lord, upon her Lord. We see such a beautiful sight there of our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, with his body in the midst of his people, worshiping and praising him, honoring their Lord and Savior. So that in this little diorama-like scene, we're reminded of the story of every child of God, that we all are nothing without our God and Savior. He's raised us from spiritual death unto spiritual life. And having been given of his Spirit, giving us life, we are raised, like Martha, to serve our God and our brethren. And we, like Lazarus, sit at the table with our Lord in his kingdom, eating the bread and the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior. And when God calls us home, we shall be called up to sit with him, being called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and feed with him and the people of God there. And like Mary in verse 3, we shall honor and worship our Lord. We shall praise him and bless our Lord God and Savior, both now and forevermore, through eternity's never-ending day. And so that's the scene that our Lord gives us of this blessed family. Martha the elder, Lazarus the darling middle child and son, and devoted Mary of her Lord. So we come now this morning and we see this good work of Mary, which stands, our Lord tells us, for a memorial of her. A memorial of her. Now, I'm going to be pulling some details, as I said, from Matthew and Mark's account. So let me just be transparent with you and say that there are commentators that say these are not the same account. What John tells us in chapter 12 is not the same account of what Mark and Matthew tell us in Mark 14 and Matthew 26. So I'm going to give you, I'm just going to clarify why it is the same account. The difficulty seems to arise on three points: the timing, the location of the meal, and the anointing of the Lord. So let's just clarify these. We'll clear these up. So John is telling us the timing of when Christ came into Bethany. Christ came 6 days before the Passover. And Matthew and Mark tell us when the meal took place within those 6 days, which was 2 days before the Passover. John tells us that in, then the location, John tells us where the meal took place, in the town of Bethany. It happened in the town of Bethany. And Matthew and Mark 14:3 says, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat." And then Mary came and anointed her Lord. And we're told in verse 2, Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And that's why they think, oh, well, this took place at Lazarus's house and Martha's house. This happened there. But is anyone surprised that Martha was up helping to serve that large crowd that had gone into Simon's house and helped to serve all the abundance of people and that came in to see Christ and Lazarus? And if it was Lazarus's house, Would Lazarus have, would we need that detail to know that he sat at that head table? It was his house. He could choose to sit where he would. But Simon, giving a supper for Christ, also wanted Lazarus to be there also. It was good in the eyes of the people to have Christ and Lazarus there. So that takes care of the place. And then the anointing. In Mark 14:3, we're told that we're not even given Mary's name. It just says, she broke the box and poured it on his head. And Matthew says the same thing in chapter 26. But John's focus isn't on where Mary began, but being the disciple of love and overwhelmed with the power of our God, the effect of our God upon his people, notices for us where Mary, who loved her Lord, ended up at the feet, where she always was found, at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says in verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now I'm going to explain the difference in this point as we go, but our focus, brethren, is on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see here the focus of this family and these people here is on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all our glory. We glory in him. We have no covering for our sin but the blood of Christ, and we're satisfied with that. We're thankful for his blood. And so this ointment that Mary pours on Christ's head, it declares that we're one with our Lord. It speaks to the unity between the people of God and our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mary, takes that ointment and wipes Christ's feet. And when she does that, what she's declaring is, Christ is all my glory. Christ is all my covering. I don't have any glory of my own. I have nothing to glory in before the Lord. He's my glory. I have no covering for my sin, no works to deliver me of my sin. Christ is all my covering. And when the people, beginning to smell this odor and asking, what's going on here? What happened here? And they heard what was done, and they began to grumble about what she did. Our Lord says in Mark 14, you leave her alone. You don't trouble her. Don't you say nothing to her. You leave her alone. Verse 8 and 9, she hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And I say unto you that can hear it, that what she has done is preached every time the gospel is faithfully declared. What she has done is preached in the gospel each and every time the gospel is faithfully declared. Because rather than speak of the corrupt words of vain flesh, talking about what man must do to be saved, what decision he must make. No. We glory in what Christ has done. We declare his blood sufficient to save and cover all my sins. We glory in him. We glory in him being born again of his Spirit. So that he's all my glory. He's all my hope. He's sufficient to save me to the uttermost. If I'm accepted of God, it's for Christ's sake, not mine. For his sake alone. And that's what Mary has done here. And that's what the church does every time she stands and declares that Christ is salvation of his people. He's our glory. He's our covering. He's everything. Amen. So I've titled this message, Christ, Our Glory and Covering. Christ, Our Glory and Covering. So This ointment, I said, is a picture of the oneness between Christ and his church. We're told that it was a pound of ointment of spikenard that Mary had. And I was curious, how much is a pound of ointment? And so I went and online and I did use some conversion. And I found one that took a pound of ointment. I did one of olive oil and one of coconut oil in case there's just a little difference in the consistency. And both of them, with only a half ounce difference, both of them were right at 16 and a half ounces and the other at 17 ounces. That's two cups. Two cups. You know what two cups is. That's not a small amount. That's a very good sized amount. And it says, Mark says that she poured it on his head. Now, what a picture of the anointing of our God to the work that he sent him to do as the Lamb of God to put away the sins of his people. And through the abundance of it, which flowed down his head. Can you imagine pouring two cups of oil on someone's head? The abundance of it began to flow down, and she stopped it. Lord, this I'm giving this to you. And she caught it with her hands and her hair, just bringing it up there to catch it, and then having it and saying, Lord, this is yours. This is your glory. I've given this to you. And she stooped down and she wiped the rest of it on his feet to give it all to him. It's all his, Lord. It's all yours. I give it to you. I don't want nothing to be wasted. It's all yours. It's your glory, Lord. And so Christ, in his word, he declares that we're one with him. He says in his high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 20 and 21, he said, Lord, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, pictured in that spikenard oil, the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And so that sweet fragrance of Christ, from the anointing oil of the Spirit, running down, flowing over the head of Christ, running down his body, and in measure given to Mary as well, she took it and wiped it on his feet. She gave it all back to him, declaring, Lord, you're everything. You're all my glory. You're all my covering. And that sweet, pungent, fragrant smell filled the house. And so to smell Mary, who had that on her, was to smell Christ. And that's how it is when we stand before the throne of our God. He smells not us, not our works. He smells the sweet, fragrant, pungent smell of his darling son. To smell Mary was to smell Christ. But was everyone in that house unified? Did everyone agree with what was done? Was everyone pleased with what had been done for Christ? No, they began to smell that and grumble. What's going on? What is that smell that I smell? What is this perfume filling the house? And they heard, well, Mary had taken a whole box of ointment and poured the whole thing on Christ's head. What? She did what? She wasted all that oil on Christ's head? On Jesus' head? Mary was one with Christ. Christ was everything to Mary. And she gloried in him. So for her to take what was the equivalent of a year's wages seemed like a perfectly reasonable sacrifice to give to Christ. It was nothing for her to do that. It seemed reasonable, right? And that's what we're called to do in Christ. And believers know it's my reasonable service. Christ calls me to reasonable service in serving him. What is it? He's my all. He's everything. But Judas, he didn't care for Christ. Judas gloried in himself. Just as this world glories in its works, its decision, what it's doing for God. That's what this world glories in. And it says in verses 4 through 6, John 12. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. Is this Simon the leper's son? Is this Judas's house that he's in? Simon's son, which should betray him. He asked, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. You know, when man declares, when he's talking about what he does to save himself, what he's done to get himself saved, he's done what God said, I've done these things, and now I'm a Christian. When he does that, taking glory to himself, he's a thief. He robs God of his glory. When we talk about us and boast about what we've done, we're robbing God of his glory. It's his glory. We're saved by the glory of God. It's all his. It's all his work. We don't steal God's glory in justifying ourselves. Man steals from God boasting about what he's done, his righteousness, his works of sanctification, his law keeping, his sacrifices, his faith. That's what this world talks about. That's what they boast in. But Mary confessed all her glory is Christ. All the glory is Christ. So any of that which came to her, she cast it right back on the Lord. She gave it right back to the Lord saying, no, Lord, it's all yours. Turn over to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. And here we're given a description of the union between Christ and his church. We see a picture of what Mary did in pouring this oil on the Lord. Psalm 133. It's only three verses, so we'll read all of it. Verse 1, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head. That's where Mary first poured that ointment. That ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. And when that ointment had flowed down Christ, down to the bottom of his robe, Mary was right there at his feet to catch every drip and apply it right on back to the Lord that nothing should be wasted. She declared that Christ is all her glory. You know, in heaven, when it speaks of the elders, the 24 elders, it says that they fall down before the throne of God and they cast their crowns before the throne. We're not going to be taking any glory to ourselves. We're going to be singing the song of redemption, giving praise to the Lord for what he has done for us, rejoicing in him. The Psalmist 115 verse 1 says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. And verse 3 of Psalm 133 says, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Right? You see that oil flowing down your Lord, refreshing all to whom it touches. There, it says, there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And so that oil which flowed from Christ our head, it's that soul quickening life of him, because he, the second Adam, is made a quickening spirit. He gives life to whom he will, and he blessed Mary. And blessed Mary, receiving that from him, returned right back to him, worshiping the Lord. It's all yours, Lord. It's all your glory. I've got nothing to boast in your salvation. And so Christ alone is the light and life of men. He gives life to whomsoever he will. He leads his people out of darkness, and they follow him. And in him we have the light of life. We don't walk in darkness. We walk following our Lord. So Mary had the love of God in her. Judas did not. Mary gloried in Christ. Judas did not. When our Lord went to the cross, he died as the substitute of his people. He died in the place of his people, taking their place. What was our due, the punishment we deserve for our sins, Christ took them unto himself and stood in our place, and he took the beatings. He took the bruises. He was humbled. By his stripes we are healed, and our sin is put away by the shedding of his own blood. And he died, and he was buried, according to the scriptures. When everything that the scriptures said of him was fulfilled, he died and was buried. And God raised him from the dead, declaring that he is just, and we are justified in him. And so, brethren, we're sent to preach Christ. Christ to his people, to feed the sheep of God, to declare what Christ has done. No sacrifice I do can put away my sin, but the sacrifice that he gave of himself, that put away my sin. Me and the strength of all my flesh and all my might cannot deliver me from the justice of God. Yet Christ in the weakness of his flesh delivered me and all his people. He did everything. If I try to come to God in my own works, I'm a stench in his nostrils. But those who come to God in nothing but the blood of Christ are a sweet savor unto God, and he receives all who come to him in the blood of Christ. Romans 3:23 through 25 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That redemption speaks of the purchase of his people with his own blood. We are bought with the blood of Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. And that word propitiation means that Christ came and turned the wrath and anger of God, which was justly set upon us to destroy us. Christ turned it away from us on himself to bear that wrath and punishment that we couldn't bear. He bore it for us and shed his blood to put away, to obtain eternal forgiveness, the remission of sins, forgiveness of sins for us from God. Christ did that. Christ did that because he loves his people, and we are his bride. And the way you know who are his people, it's manifest in them. Faith is manifested in them whereby they look to and trust the blood of Christ. That's how you know whom Christ died for. That's how you know who's for whom he shed his blood. Because fruit is born in them in the appointed hour of God when he gives them life by the Spirit and reveals fruits of righteousness in them, not the least of which is faith, trusting in his blood, believing him. Now, when Mary did this work upon Christ, and Judas and others murmured, it says in John 12, verse 7 and 8, Jesus defending her, saying, let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. And Matthew 26, 12 and 13 adds, for in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, head to toe, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. And so I said to you that what Mary has done is indeed preached in the gospel every time the gospel is faithfully preached, because Mary gloried in her Savior. When the gospel is faithfully preached, we're glorying in Christ. We're not glorying in man. Judas gloried in man. And the preaching of the true gospel glories in Christ, and the false gospel glories in man. What he must do. The decision he makes. Right? One glories in Christ, the other glories in man. We only know that what Mary did was a good work, and what that good work was because Christ told us. Otherwise, we wouldn't understand it. We wouldn't know what was done. He said, she came beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And she likely only understood that it was a good work when she heard Christ say, she hath wrought a good work on me. I don't even think Mary knew what she had done. I don't think it struck her at all. And our Lord says in Matthew 25, verse 37, he says that in that day, the children of God will say, when, Lord, when did we ever do a good work on thee? When did we see thee and hunger and thee thirsty and give you food and drink? When did we see you naked and clothe you? When did we see you in jail or sick and visit you? When did we do that, Lord? And he'll say, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You've done it unto me. We don't see, we don't know the good works that the Lord works in us. We don't see the good works we do, but Jesus takes notice of them. He noticed it. He said, don't you say anything to her. She's done a good work on me. He's the only one that noticed it and pointed it out, that it was a good work. And so the wicked, they're always self-serving. They're always justifying themselves, putting others down, and stepping on them to exalt themselves and make themselves look better. And so Judas Iscariot, being offended by Christ's rebuke, rather than being shamed and repenting, it says in Mark 14:10 that he went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. He turned to the enemy to destroy Christ. He was more interested in destroying Christ than hearing the words of Christ. But not Mary. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Something lost on Judas, but Mary loved Christ and gloried in him alone. And so it is when we preach Christ, that he is the salvation of sinners, we declare the glory of Christ. We declare that it's his work. He's glorified in this. Don't look to me. We didn't do anything. Look to Christ. It's all his work, to the glory, honor, and praise of him. But like Judas, those who seek their own glory and like to talk about what they did for the Lord and how they contributed to the engine of salvation. I poured in the gasoline of faith. I pulled that cord. I fired it up. Look what I did for the Lord. They're glorying in self. They're glorying in self. But true believers glory in Christ. Like Mary, receive grace of the Lord and bow before their Lord and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I got nothing to boast in this. This is all you. I don't deserve any of this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And so all that glory of his is given back to him. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 11. There's just one short verse there. 1 Corinthians 11, 15. First Corinthians 11:15. Paul writes, if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. So Mary took that which is her glory and that which is her covering, and she wiped it on Christ's feet. And in doing that, she's declaring, I have no glory but you, Lord. I don't have any covering but your blood, Lord. Everything, all the glory goes to Christ. She's declaring, he's my head. He's my trust, my confidence. All my hope is resting on the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no glory but Christ. No covering but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the church, like Mary, is doing every time she declares the gospel. When we preach Christ, we're glorying in him. We're declaring we didn't save ourselves. We got nothing to boast in. It's all of him. He started it. He keeps it. It's all of his work. And so that ointment declares we're one with Christ our head. And the glory which flows from him giving us life is all given back to him. We cast all our crowns before the Lord, were made partakers of him through the gift of his life and the gift of the Holy Spirit, whereby we are born again and made to see what he has done, made to hear his voice, made to rejoice in him. That's the only reason why we even give thanks and rejoice in him, is because we are made alive and given of his Spirit, so that we are made partakers of his grace, whereby we understand and know what our God has done. And to the degree we see it, we just keep on giving it back to him and praise him and thank him for it. Mary, taking of that ointment and wiping Christ's feet, declares she has no glory but Christ, no covering but the blood of Christ. And that's how it is with us. Everything we have rests in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, is Christ Jesus made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So you that believe him and trust his blood, thank God, thank him, praise his name for his work of salvation in you. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper together. Our gracious Lord, we thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made of yourself unto your Father to turn his wrath away, his just wrath, away from us upon yourself, that you took it from us, that we should have life in you and the forgiveness of sins, that we would be covered with your blood, and that you by your Spirit would reconcile us to God, delivering us from the enmity, the bondage, the darkness, the death of sin, and bringing us into life, into the kingdom of our dear Lord and Savior. Lord, help us, like Mary, to glory in you alone and to trust in your blood, and that whatever we're called to sacrifice, Lord, let us not see it or recognize it as anything of us, but let us give you all the praise and the thanks for it, because it truly is of you. It's your gift. It's your grace. And Lord, we pray for our brethren. We think of them that could not be with us. We think of Brother Scott, who's home and sick and just not doing well. We pray, Lord, that you would help him, give him strength, help him, Lord, to be able to come and be with us and to worship our God together with him. We know that he wants to be here, and we pray that you would give him strength and heal his body. And Lord, we think of Drew, Brother Drew there, and ready to go into surgery tomorrow. We know, Lord, that you have all things in your care and control. You're sovereign over everything. And we know that you do all things well. But we pray that you would have mercy upon that congregation, and that you would preserve him and quickly restore Drew to that congregation and give him strength to stand and declare the gospel of our Savior to the people, that he would be able to continue to feed the sheep of God. Again, Lord, we know you do all things well, but we ask that you would do this and preserve your servant, give him more years to faithfully minister to the brethren. We know it's far better to be with the Lord, but Lord, we also see how it's important that as long as you are pleased to keep us here, that we do faithfully serve our Lord and Savior and our brethren that you've assembled with us. Help us to that end, Lord. Father, bless our hearts now. Help us to see Christ, to trust him, to remember him as we take of this bread and wine. Lord, bless it, and bless our meal together. Bless our time of fellowship together. Keep our hearts, preserve us, ever looking to Christ. It's in his name we pray and give thanks. Amen. All right. So I've asked Ron and Jordan to come up and to hand out the elements, the blood, the wine and the bread. And Jordan, if you would just say a prayer before you hand it out.
Our Lord, Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to gather here today under your name. And we thank you for the message that Brother Eric brought to us. We ask to have our sick healed and everybody stay safe and peaceful in a world full of chaos. And we ask that that you help us remember you throughout all of it. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read from Mark chapter 14, and I'd like to begin in verse 27. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And it just makes me think of how the Lord is gracious to us in making us to see that none of us is righteous, and none of us is good and perfect. None of us is deserving of this. We've all forsaken the Lord. We've all rebelled against him. We're born as in enmity against our God, as rebels and sinners and trespassers against him. And we're all shown that by his grace and mercy to us. We're all brought to see that we're nothing in ourselves. But he says, after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And he goes before us. When he puts forth his sheep, he goes before them. And we behold the risen Savior. And that's what we're doing. We're looking to the risen Savior who laid down his life and shed his blood, gave his body for our life. We behold the risen Savior. We remember him. And so now he says in verse 22, through 26, it says, as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So I'm just going to sit down and we'll take these things together, brethren. And we'll sing a hymn together.
Let's all stand and sing a closing hymn, Amazing Grace. 236, Amazing Grace.
Praise than when we first